A few months ago, I made an extra $10,000 in just about a week. And it was by simply relaunching one of my online courses. We were selling our program Creator Fast Track, which is our YouTube strategy course for beginning YouTubers. And this is a program that we have sold a number of times. We like to run it with live cohorts a couple of times a year. And so this was our latest Creator Fast Track launch. And in this episode, Gabe Cox, one of our startup success coaches, is interviewing me about this launch, what worked, what didn't, lessons learned, and all that juicy stuff. So if you want to get some insights into my thoughts on launching courses these days, then this episode is going to fill you in on all my thoughts. And I've got a lot of them because we tried some new things with this launch. Some of them worked great. Others did not work out so well. And I can't wait to share all that with you. So big thanks to Gabe for helping me out with this episode. And I hope you enjoy. We became entrepreneurs because, more than anything, we want freedom. We want to be in control of our own schedule, income, and life. But unfortunately, that isn't always the reality of being a business owner. I'm Gillian Perkins, and I'm on a mission to take back entrepreneurship for what it's supposed to be. In every episode, I'll share with you how to get the most out of every hour you work so that you can work less and earn more. Let's get to it.
Well, I'm really interested to learn a little bit more about the behind the scenes of your live launches, but specifically this last Creator Fast Track launch. Well, one thing I want to do before we get started is just ask you this question, because you have some really great evergreen funnels built, and Creator Fast Track is one of those. But I know you still do the live launches, even though you probably wouldn't need to in your business. So can you talk me through that strategy of why you still do live?
Yeah, there are probably three different reasons why we still do live. So in my audience, in my community, we have these two different groups. There's the group that has opted in to learn about online business. And then there's the group that opts in to learn about YouTube strategy. And when we do the live launches, it gives me an opportunity to introduce the business audience to the possibility of maybe being interested in a YouTube channel. Now, actually, a lot of them already are a little bit interested in that, but they're not in that side of my email list. They're not segmented into that group because they originally signed up for a business-related opt-in, not a YouTube-related opt-in. Now, this doesn't require a live launch strategy because I could just promote like my evergreen YouTube webinar to those people, but the live launch gives us a little bit more of like a reason to, which so I'm able to justify it more. Like, this is happening one time, and so we see higher signups. And that leads me into the next thing, which is we do get higher conversion rates, and this is industry-wide standard. You typically see about twice the conversion rate with a live launch. Now, the live launch, of course, is a lot more work. And so if you want the passive income, the evergreen funnel is amazing. Really can't be beat for that. But if you have the energy, if you have the time, doing a live launch can earn you more money, at least in the short term. And then the third reason is definitely because we love the energy that comes with the live launch. Now, I know some people hate live launching. Some people find it really stressful. I keep it quite minimal and simple and relatively casual. And I love the energy that I get when I'm working on a deadline. I don't want a huge looming project on a deadline. I don't think anyone likes that. But small deadlines I find really motivating and actually make me feel happier in my work and more motivated to do my work. And so with the Evergreen Funnel, I mean, it's no work at all. But when it comes to launching, it's fun work for me. So I don't mind it. And we see this higher conversion rate, and we get a lot of nice energy from the customers. So we can get a whole big group of customers into a cohort of the program, run the cohort live, and we see the students get even better results. So all the numbers are just a little better, right? We see more people opt into the webinars. We see more people convert into paying customers, and we see more of those customers get great results.
That's so good. And how often do you live launch?
So most of the time, most of the programs that we sell, we are live launching them twice a year. There are some that we only launch once a year. And going into this next year, we're actually going to be changing that and only focusing in on selling one or two products. And it's going to be 100K Mastermind and then occasionally Validate. So create a fast track for this coming year. We're going to run it on Evergreen. We're still going to be running the live cohorts, but we're just going to be taking the students that enroll via the Evergreen funnel because we are actually splitting right now the business into these three separate companies where we're running Gillian Perkins International, Creative Fast Track, and Startup Society as three separate brands with separate audiences so that we can be more focused and targeted and strategic with the marketing to each of those groups.
I want to dive into that a little bit as we talk about the different strategies you use, but I want to go behind the scenes and see what does a live launch look like for you, especially when it comes to the prep work? What's the time that it takes? What are you doing as you prep?
So the live launches always start with some strategy and planning, normally about 6 weeks before the live launch will take place. And during that time, I really like to map out all what the emails will look like. We definitely plan the dates. When is the open cart? When is the closed cart? What is the price that is being offered? And is that price going to change at any time during the launch? We also will map out the dates for those webinars. And so just all the launch events mapped out 6 weeks beforehand. Then from there, we start working on getting things ready for the launch. And so typically that looks like the admin side of the business, especially my operations manager, setting up the tech that's necessary for it. So she'll set up the landing pages, like a webinar signup page, the thank you pages, the shopping cart, all of those different things about a month before the launch. And at the same time, I'll be working on doing some pre-launch warm-up type content and emails. So these warm-up emails are really important for getting the audience ready to buy the product. There are generally a lot of beliefs that have to be shifted for people to be ready to buy, or else they would have already bought, right? But something is holding them back. It might just be that they don't know the product exists. But for a lot of people, they need to be convinced that the product will work and that it will work for them. And so they need to trust me. They need to be familiar with the topic and understand how the product could change their life and believe that they are capable of using the product successfully, right? So we spend the month prior to the launch normally on that pre-launch content. And then just a couple weeks before the launch, generally right about 2 weeks before, I'll start writing the launch emails. And I generally write one or two each day for those 2 weeks leading up to the launch, that hopefully by the time the first day of the launch happens, right around that time, I'm writing the last emails for the launch. That feels really comfortable to me where I'm not like down to the wire and it's stressful. But at the same time, like I see, oh, the deadline's coming up, got to get this done. So that's really motivating for me.
Okay. Yeah. And talk to me a little bit about bonuses, because I know you offer some great bonuses in your live launches. How do you pick what you put in there?
Yeah. So there's two different types of bonuses that I generally offer. One is bonuses that everyone who signs up for the product during that launch is going to receive. And then we also have these fast action bonuses. So for the bonuses that everyone is going to get, here's my strategy for how I decide what a bonus would be. I think about the potential obstacles that they perceive might stop them from getting the outcome they want. And also sometimes about the objections they might have about why they think the product won't work for them. Objections and obstacles are two separate things. Obstacles are like what they think is stopping them from getting the result. Objections are what they think might not get them the result even if they bought the product. So an objection might be like, I'm not sure if I'm smart enough, or I'm not sure if this program teaches a good strategy, or just I'm not sure if the product works. Obstacles like my audience isn't big enough, or I don't live in the right area, or I don't have enough time, those sorts of things, right? So I think about what the biggest obstacles or objections are, and then I try to create a mini product that will specifically counter that objection. So for example, really common objection is I don't have enough time, or I'm not sure if I have enough time. So I can create some sort of bonus product that's going to teach them how to get the result in less time. This might be time-saving strategies. It might be something to help them get organized. It might be a tool to save them time. And so that would become one of the bonuses. And so I do that typically for the top 3 to 4 obstacles or objections they might have. So that is for the bonuses everyone is going to get. For the fast action bonuses, I have a different strategy because here's the thing. I don't want the people who maybe aren't the fast decision makers to then not want to buy the program because they know they're not going to get that fast action bonus, and they felt like that fast action bonus was essential for their success. So for example, if they have this objection or this obstacle, I don't know if I have enough time, and then if they sign up right away, then they get that fast action bonus to help them save time. Well, they missed that deadline because they weren't quite sure, they were on the fence. Now I don't want to buy the product at all because I needed that bonus, right? And there's no way I can get it now. So with the fast action bonuses, I make them try to be something that will be valuable and will be very like appealing and exciting to have, but are not essential at all. So just like really bonuses, you know, these extra just nice to have things.
I think that's helpful for a lot of us to hear. How do you pick those bonuses? Because I know they're different each time, some of them, at least the fast action ones.
Make good money making fun videos? I know, sounds too good to be true. But 4 years ago, I started my own channel. And in less than 6 months, my husband and I quit our day jobs, sold our house, traveled to Europe for 2 months, and then came back and bought a new house. And that was all financed by, you guessed it, my YouTube channel. I know this sounds crazy, but I also know I'm not the only one. There are literally millions of people supporting themselves from YouTube. And they do it by making videos about every topic you could possibly think of. Cooking, cleaning, art, makeup, career advice, real estate, cats, books, and even just reacting to other YouTube videos. If you want to learn more about how this works and how you can get a piece of the action, then check out my free on-demand workshop called 3 Secrets to Reach 1,000 Subscribers and Get Your Channel Monetized in Just 3 Months. Because that's the truth. If you know how the platform works, you don't have to wait years for your channel to grow. You can start getting views from day one, be making money in as little as 3 months, and be on your way to making a living as a creator before you know it. Sign up now for this free on-demand YouTube training by heading to gillianperkins.com/YouTube training. Again, that's gillianperkins.com/YouTube training. And of course, you can find that link in the show notes as well. I can't wait to teach you how to start your own successful YouTube channel and start earning a living as a creator.
The energy that comes with a live launch, your webinars always are fun, people are engaging. What happens after the webinar? What does your follow-up look like before you close the doors?
So this has looked different with the different launches, with the timing of when the webinars are versus when we're opening and closing the cart. One thing that always stays the same is that we always have really robust, not necessarily long, but robust follow-up sales sequence after. We call the like standard strategy that we use for this the double your sales sequence, because that's what it does, is we make half the sales on the webinar and then we make that many sales again after the webinar just with the emails that we send to follow up. So that follow-up is super key. Definitely got to do it. Even if you don't make any sales during the webinar and you're like, oh, no one wants this product, still send the follow-up emails, because there have been times when I have made no sales on a webinar or only a handful, and I thought no one wanted this. Then we send the follow-up emails and we make a couple dozen sales. So sometimes, and for some products, for some different markets, they just need a little bit more time to think about it. Maybe it's not an impulse purchase. Maybe your fast action bonus wasn't good enough to convince them that they needed to make the decision right then. So they realized, oh, I have a couple more days to make this decision. So always send those emails. Now, like I said, it has changed. And this largely is because it's good to test new things. It's really important to always be trying new things, because probably you do not have the optimal strategy right now. Like, it's pretty unlikely that you just happen to pick the very best strategy the first time, or even if you've tested a couple different things. So you always want to be testing. Now, if something is working well, maybe you should let it rest and focus on testing something else. So don't constantly be testing everything necessarily. So you want to be testing as much as you have bandwidth to do so, focusing on the things that are performing the most poorly. Because in your business, you'll have all these different conversion rates and other metrics that are impacting the success of your business. And these things are not isolated. They are all interconnected like a chain. And whichever one is the weakest is going to be limiting your results to the capacity of that one conversion rate or that one metric. So when we think about your launch, as much as you have a capacity to, like if you look at your webinar registration rates, or you look at your webinar show up rates, or your email open rates, or your email conversion rates, or your sales page conversion rates, whichever one of those things is the most below what you would expect, what your target for it is, that's the thing that you really want to focus on, making sure you're doing plenty of testing. So something that we were testing heavily this time around with our latest Creator Fast Track launch is we've been using the exact same launch protocol, like launch schedule, for the past few years, where we would do a webinar or sometimes two on the same day, and then we would have the cart open for just 72 hours after basically the first webinar. So we might do a webinar on Tuesday and then the cart's open on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or we might do a webinar on Tuesday and Wednesday, but still the cart's only open until Friday. Anyway, we've used that strategy a lot. It's worked really well. I love that the launch is short and sweet. It keeps the energy really up. But one area where I felt like maybe it could be optimized was to spread the webinars out a little bit more. But here's what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to spread the webinars out and then like have the cart still closed just 72 hours after each of them, because that felt like false scarcity to me, where I couldn't really say in the first part of the launch or the first little launch that the cart was going to close and they wouldn't be able to sign up after this, because I knew that the cart would open again a week later or whenever that next webinar was happening. So I wanted to make sure that we could have full integrity and tell people exactly what was happening, exactly when they could sign up, when it was going to be closing, and what the price was doing and all of that. We could be completely transparent with people. And at the same time, we could have these different points where there was some urgency to urge people to make the buying decision right then. So what I ended up doing for the launch was we had a webinar right at the beginning where we offered an early bird price. So there were some fast action bonuses on that webinar, which gave people some urgency, like a reason to buy right now. Then a couple of days later, we had several expiring bonuses. So these bonuses I put in that like nice to have category, like high value things, but not pivotal to their success. And we had several of them that were all expiring on one day. So the hope there is to create a lot of urgency, a reason to buy now. The very next day, what we had is the price going up because we were offering the early bird price for essentially the first half of launch week. So now we have another reason to buy. The price is about to go up significantly, bumping up from about $500 up to about $800. So the goal here is that the price bump is significant enough that it gives people a real reason to want to buy today versus tomorrow. So they make that buying decision, but at the same time, not so crazy that it will completely prevent people from buying after that point. If the price goes up from, say, $500 up to $2,000, then people are going to be like, okay, that's really steep. They won't think it's worth that much because you were just selling it for $500. And because they think, okay, surely it's going to be for sale again, probably for that cheaper price again, which may or may not be true. Like, you might cause people to have a lot of doubt as to whether or not this is really the best time to buy it. So that's the reason for those different price points that we picked. And then a few days after that price increase, then what happens is another reason to buy right now. And that is that enrollment is about to close and you simply will not be able to sign up for Creator Fast Track after this. And so what we did there is we had a second webinar with, again, a fast action bonus that was only available on the webinar. And then we had just the following day, so just 24 hours later, cart is closing. This is the last chance. So what we did with this launch is instead of keeping it so short and sweet, we kept the pacing up by giving these kind of different endpoints throughout the launch where multiple times something was ending. So instead of just having one end to the launch, we had several, which is really strategic because typically you see the highest spike in sales at the end of the launch when the cart is closing. So you just have that one point of urgency. But this strategy allowed us to build in essentially about five into the 1 week launch.
And be able to have a longer launch than you would with that little sense of urgency of the 3 days.
Yes, and also be able to have a longer launch while also, because of pacing it that way, be able to keep the energy up throughout the launch. Sometimes what can happen with a longer launch, like a 7 or 14 day launch, is that there is quite this lag in the middle, this kind of slog, where at the beginning it's exciting, and then emails and emails and emails, and people are maybe reading them, but they're not buying, and so they're ignoring them more and more. And then at the end, the people who were going to buy all suddenly buy. So we wanted to create multiple of these spikes throughout the launch, which I think has worked really well.
Perfect. Now, as far as your launches before and this launch being quite a bit different, how are you feeling about this launch? Did you like the strategy? Is there anything that you might not keep for the next one? Or do you feel like this might be a good strategy moving forward?
So pros and cons of this launch strategy versus the other. The biggest pro really is what I was just talking about, that we've got these multiple peaks and valleys throughout it, really good pacing, really good energy, and increased sales. Really the main con is just that it is more complex, which there's more potential for things going wrong when it's more complex. It is a little bit more work for sure. Really what got me started with the 72-hour launch was a desire to keep it simple and to just make it like as easy as possible, because I didn't want to have too much success riding on that one launch when it was an experiment. That's what it really was initially, is it was an experiment. And I had a few launches early on in my business where I put in so much work to pull out all the stops, to do a 1 or 2 week launch, and then it was just completely fell flat, didn't make any sales or only made a handful of sales. And so that really led me in like the year 2 and 3 of my business to start developing strategies like this that were like quick to market strategies that were easy to test, that didn't require too much of a time investment because they were an experiment. And not only was that easier, it was also more fun because I was less stressed about the result because I invested less effort and time into it. So I've really enjoyed that. And I also love keeping things simple, but sometimes it can be fun to make something bigger and more complicated, especially if it does get you better results.
So something that I noticed this launch as well is that with the launches in the past, you've had a one-time payment and you've had a subscription plan. This launch, you decided to do a one-time payment plus a monthly payment plan. Was there a strategy behind this? What made you decide to move toward that?
So in the past, with specifically Creator Fast Track, what we would do is we'd have this either one-time payment or else, as you said, a subscription. So recurring forever, but at a much lower price. And my original hope for that was to let more people join Creator Fast Track at a much more affordable price, because we could afford for it to be less per month if they were going to be paying for more months. And it also gave the customers a lot more flexibility to where if they just wanted to get access, watch all the lessons, they could just pay for literally 1 month, this really low cost, and consume the entire course. On the other hand, if they wanted to have access for a lot longer and have more support, then they could maintain their membership for years if they wanted to. And so it seemed like a really good kind of win-win situation. But the thing that led us to switch away from that, at least with this past launch here, is that we found that it was leading to a lot of customer confusion. This was a recurring issue where, because it was a one-time offer and a subscription offer, people just assumed that the subscription offer was actually a payment plan, because that is what most online education brands do, is that they have a one-time payment and a payment plan with like 6 payments or 12 payments or something like that. So we just found that customers were over and over again assuming that that is what we were offering, even though we tried to be really clear and specific with the language around it. We tried to explain exactly what the offer was. So we many times had customers emailing us 6 or 12 months after purchasing Creator Fast Track and saying, how many more payments do I have to go? And then when we would explain to them that it was a subscription like Netflix or something like that, sometimes they would be frustrated. And I just felt like overall, it wasn't very good for company morale to be having these customers be dissatisfied in that way. And also that it wasn't serving customers as well as I wanted to be serving them. Even though we were really trying to be clear and specific, we just weren't able to really get that message across in a way that people were understanding it.
So with this live launch that you did, a few tests that you did, if you find something that worked really well, is that something that you're going to want to add into the evergreen funnel? What's that going to look like?
Yeah, to be honest, we haven't decided exactly what we will do with this live launch content and how we might change the evergreen funnel. So one option that we've considered is to take this live launch and build an evergreen version of it with the same timing and the same webinars and whatnot. And we very well might do that. We're just kind of waiting to finish our postmortem on the launch and see exactly how everything panned out so we can make those final strategic decisions. I went into this very open-minded and just having it be an experiment. Let's try something different. So yeah, we're just going to wait and see exactly how it ends up panning out. And then we might use just one of the webinars in the Evergreen Funnel, or we might set up a two-webinar Evergreen Funnel, which definitely is not what I would recommend for most people to do when they're in the earlier stages of their business. But since I've been running multiple single webinar Evergreen Funnels for years now, we're at a point now where we can afford to innovate with it. And we also have the capacity, like the team in place to be able to manage the tech of that if that does in fact convert better.
That's one thing I really love about what you do is you love to test things and you try things, you try new softwares, you try new strategies, and always just seeing what's going to work better. And for somebody who is just starting getting into live launching and doing multiples of them, would you recommend testing multiple things at a time or maybe just sticking to one thing each launch?
It becomes a lot more complicated to test multiple things because you have multiple variables. And aside from running the multiple tests, it can be really difficult to tell what actually affected your end results. And so for that reason, ideally you test as few things as possible. Now, there are multiple points in the launch where you can test different things. So for example, with your webinar, you might test something. Try changing up something about your pitch. For your webinar promo, you might send different emails or you might offer different times than you did before. For your sales page, you could try changing the headline on it, for example. So there's all these different things you can change, but just with each aspect of the launch, you only want to change one thing so that you'll be able to measure those results.
So wrapping up, I'd love to hear just when it comes to launching, do you feel like you learn something new every time you do it?
I would say that I learn something new every time I launch if I try something new. If I don't try anything new, then we might hit the goal that we had for the launch. And if so, we're just like, okay, great, we hit the goal, but we don't really feel any sense of accomplishment around it. Or we don't hit the goal and then we feel like, oh, we should have tried harder. And we're also maybe not sure exactly what went wrong and why it didn't work as well as the past times. Whereas when we try new things, it sometimes still doesn't hit the goal. But we can feel a sense of accomplishment around the fact that we tried a new thing, you know, we went out on a limb a little bit, thought outside the box, and we learned a strategy that didn't work as well. Or sometimes we learn a strategy that works way better than what we were doing in the past. So then we're able to be excited about that success and, of course, take what we learned and apply it to future launches as well.
Love it. Thank you so much for diving deep with us into what your launches look like, your live launches, and the different strategies that you use this time around.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Work Less, Earn More. Now, here's what I want you to do next. Take a screenshot of this episode you're listening to right now and share it out on your Instagram stories. And when you do, make sure you tag me at Gillian Z. Perkins so I can see you're listening. Sharing on stories is going to help more people find this podcast so they too can learn how to build their business in a way that allows them to work less and earn more. And if you really love the show, head over to Apple Podcasts right now and leave Work Less, Earn More a review to give it a boost and help even more people find it. Okay, let's wrap this up. I'm Gillian Perkins, and until next week, stay focused and take action.